They changing again, eh?
Chapter 8, we're going to begin today at verse 23. So the Parsha of Baal Oischa begins with this idea of firing up the menorah, which is Aaron's special job. And as Rashi tells us, this is a continuation of the end of the previous Torah portion, where the different tribes are represented by their leaders, by their princes. And now, Aaron, who kind of represents the tribe of Levi, feels left out. He didn't get to orchestrate the inauguration of the Mishkan. So Hashem comes to Aaron and he says, don't you worry. Your purpose, your task is greater. Sha'ata madlik u'meitev es'anedis, you prepare and kindle the lamps. And subsequent to the opening volley about the menorah, the Parsha begins to talk about the Levites. And we discuss the notion that the Levites took the place of the Israelites who were supposed to serve in the Mishkan and ultimately in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a discussion of the inaugurating of the Levites themselves and what had to be done in order for the Levites to assume their positions. And there's a relationship to the purification process of the Metzora, there's shaving of hair, and a lot of funny stuff which only gets done once in history. And that's because this is a weaning away of the impurity of the golden calf, which is idolatry and brings impurity. And so the Levites have to go through this purification process, and they're going to now be empowered for posterity to serve in this holy and special mission. Which brings us to today's reading. So after having heard about the Levites being prepared and being brought into this new job, the Torah turns its attention towards the task of the Levites itself. And some of this is slightly similar to ideas we talked about already in the previous parsha. We're going to be revisiting the notion of retirement today, the forced Levite retirement. They're called orchestrating retirement. Right? Is this a Torah idea? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer. Verse 23, this is a new portion, if you will, a new parsha. The parsha Stuma, it's preceded by a Samach, it means that this is very much a continuation of the previous section, and the new section introduces the terms of employment. How long will the Levites work for? How will they work? Verse 24, Zois Asher Lalevim. This is what's going to be for the Levites. These will be their terms. Miben Chomesh Ve'esrim Shana, from the age of 25, Vamala, Yovoi Litzvoi Tzava Ba'avoidas Oyel Moed. They will present themselves as part of the legion, the muster, their troops, if you will, to serve in the Ohel Moed, in the Tent of Meeting. Let's take a look in Rashi, who notes that these verses begin with the word Zeis Ashel Alvim. This is what's going to be the rules of engagement for the Levites. Now, what we're going to hear here is what the disqualifying details of a Levite, which were different from the disqualifying details of a Kohen. As Rashi says, Shonim Paislim Bahem, years or age is a disqualification, the Ein Hamumin Paislim Bahem, but blemishes, bodily blemishes, or imperfections, which necessarily disqualifies a Kohen from serving, has no bearing on the Levite's ability to serve. As the Chizkuni says, and a little inverted, the Chizkuni puts a little different than Rashi, he says, only with them is years or age your concern, but not with the Kohanim. Rashi says, with Kohanim, it's bodily defects, not age. With Levites, it's age, not bodily defects. And the Chizkuni rotates that a little bit the other way around. He says here, Shanim Peislim. So when it comes to the service of the Levites, years or age seems to be the issue. That's the possibility of somebody not being able to work is connected to the age, not to their standing or situation. And we'll talk about this soon. We'll see if that's something which is permanent. Was it only in the Midbar? And what does it mean exactly? Does it mean you have to be forced to retire altogether? This will be the focus of today's discussion. But let's move forward now in understanding this pasuk. Now, the next detail in the pasuk is that, as Rashi tells us here, it says mi ben chomesh v'esim, from the age of 25, which sounds like they start working at age 25. Ubamakim acher, earlier in chapter 4, in verses 3 as well as 23 and then 30, the Torah says mi ben shloishim shana, that they begin to work from 30 years of age. An obvious contradiction. Does the Levite service begin at age 30? Does the Levite service begin at age 25? We have an obvious contradiction here. We have to understand how to reconcile this. So we will see there are various methods of reconciliation. Here's the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the straightforward Rashi interpretation. He says, "How ketzad? How does this work? How do you fulfill both verses?" And his response is, "This is how the Torah can be understood. Both verses are correct. Miben chamesh v'yasrim, from age 25, ba lilmeid hilchas aveda. The Levi comes to learn what to do. So his training process begins at age 25. V'loimeid, and he studies, and he is under tutelage, chamishon, for 5 years. And then, uven shleishim, when he turns 30, oved. Then he's formally part of the work detail. Then he gets responsibility, but not till age 30. Rashi notes something interesting. He said, why do you have to have 5 years of training? Why can't people train for as long as they have to train? Some people train for 5 months, some people train for 5 years, some people train for 5 days. I don't know, like, they're different jobs anyway. Well, why did the Torah give us this specific 5-year amount or allotment of training? And it doesn't seem to be negotiable. It doesn't make a difference whether you're more talented, less talented, 5 years. So Rashi says, from here, Mikan, we can see, L'talmud sh'leira simin yofa b'mishnase, that a pupil of Torah who doesn't see any success in his learning, b'chamesh shanim, if you're trying for 5 years and you're still banging your head against the wall, shuv v'nireya, you're not really going to succeed. Maybe you have to take up a different discipline. And so it was with the Levite. Not that the Levite had to necessarily train for 5 years always, but we could be certain that if the Levite's training for something for 5 years and he's still not doing it well, he's not going to learn how to do well afterwards. Like, this is a tight idea. So 5 years is the maximum. We'll know by end of 5 years, we know what the Levi can do well, what he cannot do well. We can be absolutely certain of which direction he should be sent, which responsibility he's going to be accepting upon himself, and how he's going to be utilized in the legion, in the task force of Levites. That's the approach of Rashi, which is actually a direct quote from the Sifri and the Gemara in Chulin. Now, some of the other Mefarshim explain this a little bit differently. The Ibn Ezra, for example, says, from age 30, you do the heavy lifting. That's when your strength is fully filled in. But from age 25, lighter tasks already are performed. The Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, says, from age 25, you're assigned guard detail. We know that the Levites used to guard the Beis HaMikdash, and previously the Mishkan, in 21 places. So they would be responsible for keeping the sacred scrimmage of the Mishkan. But from age 30, that's when they actually are inside the Mishkan, doing the actual work of, in the time of the Moshe Rabbeinu, dismantling and then putting the Mishkan back together. Ramban says that the notion of 25 is that's when they should start to muster or start to gather. And that's when you start to look at what each one might be able to do. However, the actual responsibility and the actual burden of service does not fully take place until the age of 30. At any rate, the point is that there's different methodologies of explaining how it was. I suppose the common denominator is that some kind of work, some kind of practice, or some kind of training, some kind of efforts began already at age 25, and you did not reach fruition, did not reach your maturation or perfection, didn't have your career path clearly set out to you until you were of age 30. Why does the Torah use the expression of litzvei tzava? So Ramban says it means to gather amongst those who are gathered. Litzvei tzava means there's a legion, and then there's the gathering of the legion. And the Ksava Kabbalah says litzvei tzava emphasizes that the Levites worked with tremendous synchronicity. They worked together. This was teamwork. Like that famous expression, the team stands for together, everybody achieves more. The Levites were not sole kind of workers or lone rangers doing their own thing. This required teamwork. They had to work together, and they had to work in concert. And when they worked in concert, then they were able to be successful, even though they could have had very, very important responsibilities and duties that were individually tailored and tasked to them. Verse 25, Umi ben Chamishim Shana, now getting into the meat of today's subject, from age 50, Yoshov Mitzvah Aveda, they return from the legion of work, V'lo Yaved Oid, and from age 50 and onward, they no longer work. This sounds kind of ominous. Many people are 50, or 60, or even 70, they feel full of vim and vigor, they're full of koyach. They're just telling you 50, that's it, you're gone, out the pasture. So first of all, the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash says this only applied to the desert, to the Mishkan. And that's because the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, had to be carried, which is heavy lifting. So the heavy lifting was something that they was no longer required after age 50. But once we got to the Beis HaMikdash, this was no longer the case. However, Ranban, in his commentaries on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, he argues vehemently. And he says, no, that's not correct. This is not one of those temporary mitzvahs. The Levite would formally be resigned at age 50. Their career was from 30 to 50, the 20-year career. That was the Levite's career. And after that, the Levite was sent packing. Or was he? V'lo yavedeid. Let's see what Rashi says. Yavedeid should no longer work. Says Rashi, when we say he should no longer work, it means avoidas masa bekosef. It means heavy lifting. It almost sounds like Rambam. That's only in the desert. But maybe there was heavy lifting in the Beis HaMikdash also. Essentially, heavy lifting is ruled out after age 50. However, Rashi says, Aval Chezer hu, he does return. So he can do other things. Like, for example, Rashi says, Ne'ila Sha'arim, he could open and close gates, be responsible for keys, responsible for things being open and closed at the right time. Lashir, to be part of the choir. Or Litain Agolis, to load up the wagons. Vizehu, and this is the meaning later on in verse 26, that it says Vishades es echov, he will serve his brothers or his peers. In other words, that he'll come to the Mishkan, and es echov means there'll be those who are responsible. And he'll help those responsible. Kitargumai, as Unculus renders it, im achuhi, together with his brothers. So therefore we see this idea of im. Im means together with. For example, when it says Yosef was a shepherd together with his brothers, it says hoyeroya es echov bitzain, and it means im echov. He was pasturing his brothers, which sounds kind of strange. Rashi actually has what to say there, why he uses that expression. But it means im. That's the way it's explained. Together with. Now, this a notion of lo yaved oid, as Rashi says, is specific to one kind of work. And Ranban echoes Rashi's sentiment, and he says, yeah, linel sharim, he can open gates, he can be responsible for the keys, and he can help load up wagons. Now, Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi says, loading wagons, I mean, just said he can't do any heavy lifting. And now he's loading wagons? So Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi, in his commentary on Rashi, the Re'im says that we're talking here about the lighter things, like the curtains, like the coverings. Maybe we're talking about the various partitions, which are made of cloth. And they're not very heavy. Chizkuni says, from this point and onward, they could sing in a choir rather than play the musical instruments. They could stand in the honor guard duty, but they wouldn't actually be working. So here we have that second pasuk that Rashi just referenced, Vishadis es echov. Vishadis es echov, says verse 26, and Rashi says, the Gunkla says, V'yishamesh im achohi. He worked together with his brothers. So here verse 25 says, Lo yavedoid. And here verse 26 says, Vishadis es echov be'almoid. Lish memishmeres, to guard the guard, sounds very much like the Chizkuni. Va'avoid elo yavoid, but he shouldn't do any work. So Rashi is dealing with the obvious contradiction between verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25, it says, lo yavoid, he doesn't do any more work. Verse 26, it says, Shedes HaZechav, he works together with his brothers. So therefore Rashi explained, depends what. Certain aveda, certain work is done, certain work isn't done. Kocha ta'asel alvim b'mishmereisam. This is what you do for the levim in their watches, in their various work. Which leaves us a little bit still perplexed. First of all, Rashi seems to be indicating about some difficult, hard work. And here he says, we don't work very hard. And why would the Torah, put it this way? Verse 25 says one thing, verse 26 says something else. What's really going on over here? And lastly, why is Rashi explaining verse 26 in his commentary of verse 25? So let's take a look here in the Biyudim. And the Rebbe explains this Rashi in what I think is a marvelous way, which will give us a beautiful takeaway also. What kind of retirement should we encourage? And what kind of retirement is a really bad idea? Tzarech bir. This has to be understood. We're on page Kuf Lamed Hei. Kuf Lamed Hei in the Biyurim, where Simen Yud Beis, chapter 12. Madua tzidef Rashi b'dibur echad shnei nyanim shaynim. Why did Rashi choose to explain two different ideas in different verses under one single comment? Pirushi al hamilim v'lo yavidayid. First of all, he explains the meaning of v'lo yavidayid. Yavidayid means they should no longer work. Okay, that's so he explained. What does it mean, no longer work? He said, no longer work means at specific tasks. It doesn't mean you don't work at all. And then Rashi explains something else. He explains the words, v'shedis es echov. He'll serve his brothers. No, what means? Shedis es echov. You just say it doesn't work, and I say serve his brothers. He doesn't serve God, he serves people. How does this work out? So Rashi explained, v'shedis es echov means he serves together with his brothers. He doesn't serve on his own. He serves together with his brothers. Why does Rashi put both of these, why does he conflate them into a single comment that's oftentimes not the style? When Rashi will comment on something, he'll transcribe a few words from the scripture, he'll comment, transcribe a few words, and comment, especially when there are two different verses. So clearly something compelled Rashi to conflate his comments into a single comment, into a single notation. And the question, what is that? And not only the question is, what is that? Once we figure out why Rashi did that, there's a good chance that we're going to have a whole new appreciation of what Rashi is really telling us. The Yesh Leimar. So here is the Rebbe's suggestion of what's really going on here, what's beneath the surface. Shahapirush al v'shedes es echov, that the meaning of serving his brothers, Miyashiv Koishi Hamisoider, the Ikvas Hapirush Avaloyavidoid. This actually answers a fundamental question. It's a fundamental question that comes to light when we say Veloyavidoid, and he will no longer serve. And the fundamental question is like this: Al Divri Rashi, Aval Khoizerhu, Lini Ira Shaorim Ulashir. Rashi says he will return to opening and closing gates. He gets to be the guy with the keys. Or singing, the choir. The Mefarshim, like for example, the Moshe of Zakenim of the Bali HaTesfis in Parshas Nasa and others say, she behigioi legil chamishim, once he reaches the age of 50, choyzer alevi lashir bepiv bovad. And he goes into the vocalists. We count it amongst the vocalists. No longer is he responsible for playing instruments, or at least for some of the instruments. Because in the previous parasha we talked about, made a distinction between heavy instruments and lighter instruments. Let me explain to you. When we talk about the Levite singing in the Beis HaMikdash, this was nothing less sophisticated than a full symphony. And just like a symphony, these are people who practice and they train on a regular basis. Nobody just plays in a symphony. People don't practice it for 5 years. People practice for 10 years, for 20 years sometimes, before they're able to play in a philharmonic. These are the best musicians, the finest artists, sometimes in a province or in a country even. To be playing on the famous symphonies, the big symphonies, and maybe there are 10 of them across North America, if there are that many. Most countries have one official symphony. Two official symphonies. These are the finest of the artists possible, the best of the best. People who train and practice sometimes from their childhood. And the Levites had this finely tuned, perfect orchestra. that could never do anything out of sorts. Everything was exact. Everything was perfect. The standard was very, very high. And they were training 5 years. Yeah, training for 5 years at least. And the vocalist also was training, continuous training for a very, very long time. The Medrash tells us that when people would come to bring a korban, the Levites would size up this person. Not only were they musicians, they were extremely intuitive individuals. And they would know if a person reacts well to music that's joyous, or sometimes to music that has an undercurrent of melancholy. And they would sing the right song for the right person. And in doing so, when you came to the Beis HaMikdash, it was a profoundly moving experience, in part because of the music. There was a spiritual preparation. You knew what you were about to do. You understood the profundity of a korban and the magic of the moment. And then the music started. And when the Levites were able, literally, they were playing with the strings of your soul. They were able to manipulate your emotions, to raise a person up through music to the highest levels. This is a personal thing. So we think of Levites, you know, just being a couple of schleppers, schlepping some boards and some curtains. Not at all. That was not at all the case. And the vocalists were vocalists. I once read somewhere that the Beatles became the Beatles because they played together for something like 6 hours a day for over a year. I think they were in Germany at the time. They were going from bar to bar playing. But they were incredibly devoted. They were very assiduous in practicing. And they practiced and practiced and practiced for hundreds and hundreds of hours, continuously, to the point that they were able to play literally in concert. They were like a single organism. They felt each other. They knew they were able to play. That's what made them such an incredible band. The whole Beatles, I think, is like 2 years. Like, you know, that's, you know, people still talk about them. The Levites had enormous talent and enormous training. So up until the age of 50, they would be on top of their game. But after the age of 50, they weren't on top of the game anymore. So now they would kind of like shift into the background. They would join the vocalists, the choir. But they were not actually playing the instruments, at least not the heavy instruments. This needs to be understood. So what's harder? What takes more effort to open them? The Beis HaMikdash had these large, heavy doors. Extraordinary doors. These were 15 feet high. Some of them were like 2 feet thick. Huge, enormous doors. This is not an opening of a regular door. That takes effort. And to load up wagons in the Mishka, it's certainly a big deal. So that somehow the Levite can't do anymore. That he can do. But to play a musical instrument, to play a violin, no, can't play the violin anymore. That doesn't seem to make sense. Madue Fenidish Alevi Lahafsik Lenagin Beklishia. Why is it necessary to retire the Levite from the symphony? Bahagil Gil Chamishim. You can put him responsible for opening and closing doors. You can give him the responsibility of loading the wagons, but he can't play a fiddle. In order to answer this, Misayim Rashi finishes with the words, Veshedes es echav. He said, this is the meaning of Veshedes es echav im achuhi, with his brothers. In other words, this is not a separate comment. This explains the previous comment, because Rashi mentioned things which require different levels of effort. Seemingly things which require more effort, which are permitted, things which require less effort are not being permitted. And this itself provokes the question. So Rashi explains, Negino b'kli shir, hi avoida mizbatzas ayidei kol levi b'nifrit. Some of musical instruments was something where there was a solo. There was a specific responsibility that one of the Levites had a role to play, and this role to play was on his own, if you will. After age 50, he was no longer given the solo roles, the roles of full responsibility. He no longer has the stamina to put up with this responsibility of doing it by himself. In other words, the full burden, the full pressure, running the show by himself. At that point, the pressure was removed. Remember, they didn't play for an hour. Sometimes they could be playing all day because people were bringing korbanos one after the other. And this was a tremendous emotional and mental strain. It was not an easy thing to do. You know, the people who sit in the airport and they watch the radar and they have the planes coming in, I once read somewhere that their career is maybe 20 years. Their nerves are shot. You're playing with thousands of lives every day, literally. You're responsible. You make one single mistake, there's no room for error there. A single mistake means, God forbid, two planes collide. This is not like a, you know, an ordinary job where people make mistakes all the time. Mistakes are not an option. It's not possible. So you live with unbelievable pressure because so much is at stake. The Levite understood how much was at stake. Every detail of the Korban, we believed, is relevant on a global level. The Beis HaMikdash was the nerve center of the world, and everything had to be just right. So, Te'inas HaGolas and Ne'ilas Shorim Lulun Zeis, Yechol Lizbatza De'Shnei Levim. It doesn't have to be one Levi responsible for opening a door. It could be a team of Levites. It could be two Levites together. Or when it comes to loading a wagon, you're not responsible. You're not. You don't have the pressure. The camera's not on you. You're not the one who's responsible to do this. You can be prompted. You can be assisted. It could be two or three people. When people are doing things as an aveda mishutefes, the sharing of responsibility, it's very, very different. Because a shared responsibility takes the pressure off. We're doing this. We're orchestrating it together. We're doing it in concert, meaning working together without having the sole responsibility, that pressure isn't there. The Levi is already, his nerves are shot. He's a little bit older. He doesn't have the stamina and the koyach that he had before. That's not a problem. He can still do certain things because as long as there are things that can be shared with others, so then it's not putting all the pressure on him. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with him still working. On the contrary, of course he should still work. As long as he's yachad im levi'im achedim, as long as he's together with others, in other words, im achohi. So the way the Rebbe explains Rashi to us, the concept of the forced retirement was that he should no longer have to deal with the pressure of being responsible for a sole task, a task that can't be shared. But if a task that could be shared with others, it could be done in concert, it could be done in unison, you don't have to bear the pressure by yourself. On the contrary then, for this, the Levi continues to work. And that's how the Pasuk finishes. On one hand, we say that lo yavedoid, and the very next words is v'shedis emechav. Lo yavedoid means don't put the full responsibility on him. That pressure, it's no longer fair that he should have to deal with that kind of intense pressure. However, v'shedis emechav, he should certainly work together with others. So do we believe in retirement? Depends. Absolutely yes and absolutely no. We don't believe a person should have the sole pressure. At a certain point, the person should have others aiding and assisting. They should be able to share that pressure. Some jobs have to be the full pressurized jobs. And those jobs have people who have the yaitzes, have the kishkas, they still have the stamina, they have the youthful energy. But later on, when a person no longer has that full inner strength and gumption to deal with the full pressure of something, they should certainly be working, only without that additional stress, because you're sharing it together with others. And that's the Torah's idea of retirement. Should you retire, you can ratchet it down, you can share the pressure. A person should never retire.